All right. So this morning, I have something a little different. I really feel like the Lord put on my heart, and we'll see. And I don't know if you can turn to 2 Peter 3:10. Each week, I kind of get this different message that the Lord's putting on my heart, and we'll see. That reminded me right there, my little army man, to pray for our missionaries. So I won't ever want to forget that. So if I do forget that, and our military people, somebody throw something at me. I don't mind. You know, don't stop me. Gary, help me. But let's pause, be serious about this, and let's pray for this message. Father, we just do pause, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to live in America, to have freedom. Well, we know, as Adam said, there's a lot of things going on in Ukraine and Russia and all this stuff. And Lord, we do pray for all of our Christian brothers and sisters in Russia and in Ukraine. And just lift them up. Father, we specifically pray for the Hughes family. We know, I talked to their father yesterday, and we know that they are safe. But we still pray for them because they're pretty close to the danger. We ask you to protect them, keep them safe. Pray for our military around the world and all the foreign missionaries spreading the good news. Thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. I ask you to help me preach it and teach it as you put it on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So 2 Peter 3:10. Let's read. Let's see. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done it will be laid bare." So the message this morning, if you're on Facebook, you probably saw, but the message this morning is the world coming to an end. I think this is appropriate and fitting. We're going to talk about that this morning and see what the Bible says. Is the world coming to an end? And we all know there's a lot of negative things going on in the world right now, for sure. And now, on top of all that, we have Russia, right, invading Ukraine. And it's all over the news. The United Nations is gearing up to send troops to different countries that the UN supports. The United States of America is sending the 101st Airborne and the 82nd Airborne. Now, when they send those guys, something's happening. Okay? They're sending them, our troops, our kids, 101st and 82nd Airborne, to the surrounding countries that are part of the UN. I've had a lot of people over the last just week ask me, "Is the world coming to an end?" Matter of fact, when I shared my message this morning on Facebook, right now I have over 600 responses. More than anything I've done in a while. You know, those little statistics mean something to me. That means you're reaching people. You're getting people's attention. People are putting their eyes on what we're talking about. Just one little way that we can reach out. But that's a big topic right now. Is the world coming to an end? I answer them the same way every time. I say, I don't really know for sure, but the Bible says no. Not right now. Stay with me. I'm going to put all my faith in what the Bible says. And I encourage you guys this morning to put all your faith in what the Bible says. Not what the media says. Not what it even looks like on the news. So this morning, what I'd like to do is give you a basic overview of what the Bible says about the end of the world. Now, some of you, this will be ABC 1, 2, 3. Understand that. I'm preaching to the choir. But we all need an overview of the basics, don't we? And that's what we're going to try to do this morning. So, the text this morning, 2 Peter 3:10. The end of the world has been a hot topic for many, many years. People seem to be obsessed about the apocalypse, Armageddon, anything to do with eschatology. That's a big fancy word that means, eschatology means the study of the end times or the study of the end of the world. Some people even prepare for the end of the world with safe houses and underground houses, and they store up food and all these kind of things. Now that may be okay if we're preparing for some bad weather. Or maybe you're preparing for some kind of crazy military in another country that lands on in America. Let us not stand in our arrogance to say that would never happen. You never know. But I guarantee those folks who don't like assault weapons are going to love them when we start bringing them out. Right? We'll bring out shotguns and deer rifles and pistols. And they're going to be glad if that ever happens. God forbid, right? Popular culture, it depicts this craziness about the end times. They make movies about it, trying to, you know, tell us how the end of the world is going to happen or what's going to happen or why it happens. The truth is, the Bible tells us how the world is going to end. And it describes it all through its pages. Now, listen up. We are not living in the days of the end of the world. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. The world is not ending right now. Now, most definitely, certainly, this could be the time right before the rapture. We could be right here. They are birthing pains. We could be right here at that time. But guys, the end of the world will not even happen in our lifetime. Bear with me, I'll explain. None of us in here will see the end of the world in our earthly body. The Bible tells us the end of the world will not come until the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. Okay? We'll have the rapture, and then after the rapture of the church, we'll have the seven-year tribulation, and after the seven-year tribulation, we'll have literally 1,000 years of Christ reigning on this earth. And then after that will come the end of the world. And after that 1,000 years, the Bible tells us that God will destroy the earth with fire, and He will create a new heaven and a new earth. So, let's back up. Everybody with me? So let's back up and let's talk about the rapture. We all know the rapture is prior to the end of the world. The rapture is when Jesus will come and take His children up to be with Him in heaven. Like the song says, Jesus is going to crack that cloud and the old bugle is going to sound and we're all going to be gathered up with Him in the air. Only believers, listen closely, only believers will be taken up in the rapture, and the unbelievers will be left on earth to undergo the seven-year tribulation. Paul tells us the rapture will happen unexpectedly, like a twinkling of an eye. When believers are taken up in the rapture, we will be alive. We will stay alive. We will die. Our bodies will be transformed immediately into our heavenly bodies. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we turn on the human space shuttles. We're gone with the human, perfect, transformed, heavenly bodies. And the Bible tells us the rapture can happen very quickly. The rapture could happen this afternoon, tomorrow, next week. 6 months from now, 500 years from now, the rapture could happen. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us when the rapture is going to happen. Be careful of false prophets who tell you, oh, the rapture is going to be next year, April the 14th. Run from those people. The Bible's not clear. Those are false prophets. The Bible's not clear about that. Now, the Bible is also clear, really, about us Christians and followers of Christ. Before the rapture, we need to carry on. We need to live life. We need to raise our children, raise our grandchildren. We need to continue to be fruitful in this earth. We need to continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and living life. Amen? The seven-year tribulation occurs after the rapture. The church will not have to undergo this wrath. If you're saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you will be called up into the air. You will not have to go through the seven-year tribulation and suffer God's wrath on this earth. Now, I know that's a debatable subject, but I believe in Southern Baptist doctrine. I believe that pre-trib, right? You got pre-trib folks, mid-trib folks, and post-trib folks. I'm not going to fall into any confusion, and I truly believe that Jesus took all my wrath on the cross. Amen. The seven-year tribulation is the major event of God completing His judging of the nations. Again, remember, I'm just giving you a real basic overview of this. I want to reassure you of a few things. The tribulation is the last opportunity for unbelievers to accept Jesus. That's a debatable subject too. Dr. David Jeremiah has a great teaching on this. In Revelations, it tells us about the 144,000 witnesses. I believe this too, that those folks will be Jews who realize, oh my God, have we made a major mistake. Jesus Christ was and is the Messiah. We have really messed up. And God is going to call these 144,000 witnesses all about the earth, spreading during the seven-year tribulation, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Millions and millions of people will get saved through the tribulation if they live and if they... Dr. David Jeremiah said it this way. He said, see what Jesus could do with just 12 disciples? What is He going to do with 144,000 disciples who their primary mission is nothing but to eat, drink water, and go all over the earth spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It will be really the last great awakening. But you and I, as believers of Christ, we'll be out of here in that rapture. Amen? Now, the whole tribulation is kind of focused on Israel, but God will be calling unbelievers to accept Him during this period. Now, sadly, there will be people who reject Jesus during the tribulation. Can you believe it? And I really believe it's because they... You know, the liar and the father of lies is going to trick them with the news and everything else, right? And they're going to believe the craziest lies that the devil has ever come up with. of where did these millions of people go? And people are going to believe them. They're going to believe the devil, the Antichrist, and his lies. And they're going to still, you know, not accept Jesus even during the tribulation. And the tribulation will be a time of pain and terror and wrath and suffering. This is what the Bible's telling us, right? And I would like to mention right here, this is what the Bible says, that this, all this happening in the tribulation is the work of God. It's not of Satan. The wrath being poured out on the world will be God's wrath. The tribulation is known also as the day of the Lord. And again, I am so grateful, and I know you are, that you're washed in the blood of Jesus. You will not be here. That Jesus, please don't let this go over your head. Jesus took our wrath that we deserved. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, but I have been judged. So have you. I have been judged already, and Jesus has taken my place. He has paid the price for my sins. I was guilty, and He paid the price on the cross. He took God's wrath that I was supposed to get, and He took that for me on the cross. That's the good news, that you will not have to suffer that wrath. Amen? That's exciting. Now, if you want to learn more about this, I'm not going to get into this. The book of Daniel and Joel goes into details about, you know, tribulation, God's wrath, the Antichrist, and all that stuff. Now, the first half of the tribulation will be intense. But the second half is going to be terrible. Theologians who study this tell us that during that, once the rapture happens and tribulation kicks in, that the Antichrist will begin to move in. He's already now here. I believe he's already in the world. I believe the devil's already manipulating him somewhere. And he's getting ready to set up. But whenever this happens and the tribulation kicks off, then the new world order will come into play. It's already into play now. Let's not, none of us be foolish about that or ignorant, right? I really believe that. But then he'll begin to set up the new world monetary system. And we see that. That's so easy right now for them to just turn a few buttons, and all of a sudden we're all on the one world money. The one world government will begin to set up. The one world religion will begin to set up. I mean, I heard on the news the other day that Putin is saying something about this is a religious war, or, you know, this trickery in the air, this witchcraft in the air, really is what it is. It's trickery. And they'll be able to turn all this. And actually, the Antichrist will begin to, during that first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will actually begin to kind of solve some of the world's problems. There'll be no more bounce checks. There'll be no one stealing anybody's identity. All that will be controlled. Things will begin to kind of look like, oh, wow, okay. He'll begin to solve a lot of, you know, no more religious wars, no more, you know, he'll begin to solve some of the world's problems. And people go, oh, wow, this guy's great. Well, yay, you know. We're talking about the Antichrist here, right? And then somewhere around a year, you know, 3.5 years, somewhere around there, and he's going to really rise up. He's going to set himself up in God's house, really. He's going to be in God's air. He's going to begin to set himself up as, okay, I am now king of the world. I want the whole world to worship me. Then the old mark of the beast starts kicking in and all this stuff. And as soon as he commits the abomination that causes desolation, right? And he sets himself for the whole world to worship him, because now he's the God of the world. And he's going to tell everybody about it. And then that's when the 3.5 years starts kicking in. And then God begins to pour out massive amounts of wrath. But praise the Lord, we don't have to go through that, right? Amen. After these 7 years, Jesus will return with believers to destroy all the unbelievers in what's called the Battle of Armageddon. And that's going to happen. After the tribulation, The millennial reign will be ushered in by King Jesus. And literally for 1,000 years, Jesus will reign. He will be king. Now the millions of people that got saved during that 7-year tribulation now is going to move over into the 1,000-year millennium. And during that 1,000 years, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. And we will be have heavenly bodies, and we'll be able to go around, run around, go from heaven to earth, on earth, have different jobs, responsibilities, and we'll be going to heaven back and forth. We'll have heavenly bodies. But those earth creatures that are still in their earth bodies, they're going to move through that 1,000 years, and they're going to have babies, and they're going to have marriages, and people are going to die, and babies are going to be born, and these kind of things. Now, during that time, Satan will be locked away, and he will be released, though, at the very end of those 1,000 years, to test the nations one last quick time. Is this okay? Everybody with me? The millennial reign of Christ will be amazing. I talked about me riding on a white shark, right? I want to talk about that again. But during that 1,000 years, think about this. Mary, think about this. Jesus will literally walk with mankind again on this earth. Yes, we'll be able to see him in heaven and all that. But just the thought, you know how God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Jesus will again walk with us, even with those earthlings at that time, on earth. What? To me, that's just awesome. Now, despite Jesus being physically ruling the king and his kingdom, people will still reject him. People still reject him, and they will choose to follow Satan. There will still be death in the millennial kingdom, as well as life with new babies. However, at the end, after the millennial, no more babies will be born and no one else will die. After the millennial kingdom ends, that 1,000 years, there will be the great white throne judgment, in which all unbelievers will be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. All believers will enter into what theologians call the eternal state. Talks about that in 2 Peter, in which the Bible tells us will be the home of righteousness, the home of the holy. Now, real quick, end of the world. And I'm going to close with this. Again, we talked about 2 Peter 3:10 and 12. It describes the end of the world. It says in these verses, the Bible tells us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. This means the end of the world, after the 1,000 years, will also happen very quickly. I'm going to slow down here because I really want you to get this part. It says that the heavens, listen closely, this has never really dawned on me until I got into studying this week, and I went down crazy rabbit trails, and it was kind of fun. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about? You start discovering stuff, and you're like, and I'm like, Lord, no, gotta stay on the sermon. You know, it says, the heavens will appear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid to bare. You see, when Peter's saying the heavens, he is not referring to the physical heaven above where God is located. That's not what he's saying. If you study that, he says the heavens is really what it's saying here. Listen closely. The heavens is referring to everything in the solar system, including the stars and the moon and all the planets. Everything in the solar system will be destroyed by fire. I'm very excited about that. That sounds like depressing or sad or something. As you can imagine, there will be a lot of noise associated with that. The destruction of the solar system will not be silent. It will be loud. It will be as if thunder cracked down right here, just more than we can even imagine. I'm excited because if we think the Milky Way and the galaxy and the universe and all that is beautiful now, we can barely see it. You wait to the new heavens and the new earth. Oh my Lord. Our little minds, we can't even imagine what God has gotten in store for us in the future. Yeah, it says after the destruction of the heavens and earth, the world, the entire earth will be just bare. Nothing living will be on the face of the earth. And my friends, this will officially be the end of the world. So, what happens after the end? What happens after the end? The Bible tells us after everything is destroyed, God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:1. The new heaven and new earth will last forever. Forever and ever and ever. God will never destroy the new earth and new earth and the new heaven and new earth because it is completely perfect, without sin and holy. That's in 2 Peter. Only, everybody say only. A few more minutes here. Only those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life will be able to live in the new heaven and the new earth. Oh, what a day that will be. In order to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have to have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, placing your faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. For individuals who did not place their faith in Jesus, they will be cast into the lake of fire along with Satan, the Antichrist, and the beast. All those unbelievers. This will all happen at the very end of the thousand-year millennial of Christ. Now, the end of the world is a future event, yes. But it is best that we all settle this now. We need to be prepared. We need to make sure we're born again. Because that rapture could happen. And you could be left behind. The best way to prepare for the end of the world is not to store up food, water, resources. Yeah, that may be okay for other things. Rather, the best way to prepare for the end of the world is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, making Him the Lord and Savior of your life. My question today, my friends, are you sure? We're all churchgoers in here, it looks like it. Are you sure? Do you know Him today? Let's pray. Father, we just love You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Father, that it does encourage us, strengthen us, builds us up, it corrects us, and most of the time it puts us in our place, and we all need that. I need that. We all need it. Father, I just pray if there's someone here today that maybe has been playing church for a long, long time, and they've never really accepted You as their personal Savior and become born again. They know it. The Holy Spirit's convicting their heart now, if that's the case. And Lord, during this song of invitation, I pray, Lord, that they'll come down here and talk to me, and I'd be glad to pray with them and settle that today. In Jesus' name, amen.